Angelo. Already. Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hey, Angelo.
Where is my agenda? There it is.
How's everybody doing, all right?
Good.
Doing okay.
Yep.
I can't wait until we stop these stupid Zoom meetings. I hate them.
Hey, Meg.
Did you go to the school board one? Because I forget.
Meg is not on yet.
All right, so it's freeconferencecall.com and the website, is that correct? For the...
freeconferencecall.com, yeah.
And then website, right?
If they want to, you can do it through the computer, but we don't have video on. It's just like through the audio. I mean, we could do, I think there is an option, like you could do video if you wanted.
No video.
We just don't have that set up.
I'm not in video mode right now. Y'all do not want to see me. I was eating.
Hey, Mattia, how was South Carolina?
Oh, it was great. It was so nice. It was hot. It was really hot. We went to get my aunt and bring her back because she's been stuck down there for like 2 months. So.
It has started.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad you had a safe drive.
Yeah, it was a very, very smooth drive. We had no problems. We ran into like 7 minutes of traffic. That's it.
Nice.
Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Meg.
Hi, Meg.
There's Bob wrong.
Bob.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Come on. I know Donna's not going to be here, correct?
Right. She said she was not available tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, are you okay, pups? You're such a goofball. Joe Ritchie.
Hey, Joe.
Hi, it's Robin.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, how's everyone doing?
Hi. Hello.
Hey, Joe, how's the new puppy?
He's a handful. He is a handful. So if you hear some barking in the background, it's not my son, it's the dog.
Yeah, because, you know, we wonder. He's a wild
dog.
Now we have to figure out which dog's barking, Joe or Steve.
Well, Tucker's got a high-pitched, scrappy bark, so I'm sure he'll be able to distinguish between the two.
Don't have the big boy bark yet.
No, he doesn't.
So I heard the Wawa had to close, huh? For a couple hours.
Yeah, my son is here panicking right now because he was at Wawa.
Yeah.
And I'm like, boy,
Leon Costello.
Hey, Leon.
Hi, Leon.
Hi, how you doing?
Hello.
Hey.
Everybody okay?
Hi,
yeah,
how are
you?
Mark Emmer's on board.
Hey, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Hey,
Mark.
Everybody. Hi.
Hi, guys. Reed here.
Hi,
hey.
Reed.
Hey, Reed. All right, let's get started. Do a flag salute. Pledge allegiance. To the flag.
To the flag. United States of America.
In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act of the State of New Jersey, adequate notice of this meeting of the Acorn City Common Council was provided in the following manner. Advance written notice of this meeting was posted in the Acorn City Hall bulletin board. Advance notice of this meeting was sent to the Hamilton Gazette, the News, the Press, and the Current. I direct the city clerk to enter these minutes and to enter these minutes this public announcement. It's being heard on freeconferencecall.com and the city website. Roll call.
Angela, did you want to make a statement?
For
Angela.
Oh, Angela.
Yeah, Angela said she was going to make a... Is she on?
I'm here.
Maybe
no. Oh, no, I just wanted to make sure it was being recorded.
Yes, I think so. Jody, you have it recorded?
Yes. I said it was recording, so hopefully it works. I said it was recording.
Okay. I heard it say
Mayor Jim Petty?
Yeah.
Here.
Brown?
Here.
Dash? Heist will not be here tonight. Mays?
Yes.
Richie?
Present.
Sefton?
Here.
Trithall?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Lello?
Here. All right, number four, approve the minutes of May 28, 2020. Can I get a motion?
So move, Brown.
Second, Robin.
All in favor?
Aye.
Number five, Mayor's report.
Yeah, I just have a few things. I just want to let everyone know, as per the governor's executive orders 152 and 153, there's some changes in the lake. We will be selling wristbands. We are allowed to offer grills and picnics, and our occupancy will be increased to 200. Hours will still be from 10 to 5 until more lifeguards can get trained. There's a lag in the American Red Cross training classes. And just a reminder that the last day to get preseason badges is June 15th. Also, we are going to reopen City Hall. We do request that the citizens call still and try to resolve any issues before coming to the building rather than have an in-person visit. But if you do have detailed issues to discuss, you can call. We request that they call and make an appointment with the appropriate person, as always. As far as the opening of City Hall, there's three people allowed at a time in City Hall. There's a demarcation for social distancing that will take place, and masks obviously will be required. That's all for that one. I also had a request from a citizen that they would like to return their property that they inherited. They would like to sign the deed over to the city. And Angela has weighed in on that, and she feels as though we should pursue that. Angela, did you want to say anything on that?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I looked into that, and apparently she has some liens on the property, and she has a bunch of unpaid taxes. But according to Laura, the property is worth about $85,000. So if she's willing to deed it over, I could prepare a deed for her, and we could acquire the property, and then we could put it up for auction and see if anyone's interested. And if not, then we can send it over to Mr. Frick and have him sell it for us. But I think it's advantageous. It might substantially benefit the town if we acquire it.
So do we need a resolution for that, Angela?
Actually, we need an ordinance. So I'll prepare the ordinance. It'll be ready for the next meeting.
Okay,
thank you. Do you
know the
address? Well, it's 229. I'm not to say it on public because it's just a, you know, probably a personal type thing. It's on Chicago Avenue. If you would like to know the exact address, Meg can give that to you personally, but I don't want to embarrass anybody on in a public meeting.
Thank you, sorry.
Okay, and also we did have a, well, I'll save that for last. I was in contact with Wayne Whalen. He's one of the participants in the tower site process project. He is still going forward with the project. They do have to establish an escrow, which I spoke to him about, and hopefully that will be resolved by Friday, and we can move forward with selling that property to them at the price of $10,000 an acre, which I believe is $335,000. So we will need to enter into negotiations with him and do the agreement of sale. So that would be the redevelopment committee. And Bob, I will keep you posted on any further information that I have, and then we can set up a meeting. Okay with you?
Yeah, I've been reading the emails. Yep, that sounds good.
Okay, and then finally, we did have a pre-construction meeting on Tuesday for the White Horse Pike project. Ryan, did you want to weigh in on that at all?
Sure, just to relay, they're planning on starting in July. They are going to provide us with a formal schedule, but they did advise that they're going to start with the drainage work, which is heavily concentrated in Egg Harbor City. So the project we've been hearing about for the last 10 years is actually going to start now. So.
Okay, and just as a note, with I would like to mention that with the things that have been going on in the country, we did establish the Coalition for a Safe Community several years ago when I first, around the first couple years that I became mayor, and this is basically a coalition designed to address such things as community policing and things like that, and we have done a great job with that over the years, and I encourage that we continue to support that in any way, shape, or form we can. A lot of the projects that go on in town are joined in with the coalition, and they're doing a great job, and I think we have improved relations among all members of our community. So if you're not connected with that, please get connected with it. I can put you in touch with Perry and Candace and with the meetings that we have. Everyone's encouraged to attend and be a part of the effort. And that's all I have. Thank you.
All right. Number six, committee reports. Finance, redevelopment, Bob.
Well, you got the information from Jody, the budget information. We haven't had a meeting. This is getting real hard to do anything with this COVID lockdown. So I really have nothing more than what you already have given you, the information from Jody or the bill list.
Okay.
Going out.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Safety, right. Joe?
I have nothing other than there is a meeting scheduled for Monday, July 13th, so we'll see what comes from the state as far as inside gatherings. I'll notify the committee about a week prior if it's still scheduled. That's all.
Hey, wait before you go anyway. Hey, do you think we could start having committee meetings at the City Hall?
Well, when City Hall opens, Bob, we can have meetings. I believe it's a indoor is limited to, I can't remember the exact amount, but I think it's 25 or 50, something around that area. And you have to make sure that there are, social distancing in progress. But we do have to open City Hall first to the public.
Right. I'm just thinking that we could use the council chambers there for committee meetings, and that we'd have plenty of room and we don't have 25 people at committee meetings.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea, Bob.
And that way we can start getting a handle on some of this. At least I can get a better handle on things that are going on instead of trying to do everything by phone and emails.
Absolutely.
All right. All right. On the highway side, I had a meeting with the Public Works about the superintendent position that's going to be possibly filled tonight. Chatting with Keith, he has an interest in taking the International dump truck, which it only has like 19,000 miles on it. It's something that's rarely used because of its size. It's very hard to see the snow plow when they use it during the winter. It's very large when you're trying, if you put pavement in there, then when you're doing patchwork and stuff like that. And he reached out to Jen Leedy, and they're going to come out and give him a what it's worth price to see if we can get something smaller on a trade without costing us money. Okay, so that's one of them. We had the storm cleanup. I know some people are still looking to get some branches picked up and stuff like that. The guys were pretty busy with some trees that went down. They did a really good job getting – I know that one part of the road on Beethoven Ave, that the tree fell in front of it, but as soon as the electric company cleared it, they were out there the next morning and got that cleared out. They did a good job there. One other thing I'd like to get out is and this is more to the public and, you know, council people and everybody, I urge you, get it out, to get the word out. Peace Pilgrim Park. I know everybody brings their dogs in there and they let them run around, and I get that. But the city, if the city workers are going in, they have to put their dogs on the leash or else the guys will not go in there, okay, with the dogs being loose. That's number one. Number two, I'm seeing more and more, and it's only because I live across the street from it, but I'm seeing quite often nobody's picking up the dog poop. Their dogs are pooping in there, and nobody's going over to pick this stuff up. So if this is going to continue, then we're going to have to cut this thing and get the dogs out of there, because people got to – if they want to keep their dogs loose, I understand. But track your dogs. If they're pooping, pick it up. The bags are there. The trash is there. Just please pick it up, because it's not fair to the guys. They're trying to keep it cut and trying to keep it clean. It's not fair. They got to step on dog poop.
Angelo, this is Meg. I just want to let you know it is posted that dogs are supposed to be on a leash. It's not a dog park.
Right, right, absolutely. And I know that some people, you know, they let their dogs run around, and I get it. And if there's been issues with some people trying to get in there. I've spoke to some of the people in there about trying to be a little, you know, if other people are coming in with their dogs, hey, put your dog on a leash, because not all dogs get along. So that's why I said, and like I said, I'm seeing there's a hole underneath the table out there where the dogs are laying and stuff like that. If that's going to continue, we're just going to cut it totally. I'm going to bring it up to cut it totally for the dogs not being in there, because, you know, it's not fair that our guys have to maintain something that the public's using, and we're being a little lenient on the way the use of it, but they can't leave a big giant hole underneath the table. They can't not pick up their dog poop. It's not the city's job to do that stuff. So if that's going to continue, then we're going to cut it. Or at least I'm going to bring it up to cut it. So let's try to get the word out, and hopefully if there's public out there and they hear it, get the word out. They just got to be a little bit.
What do you mean by, Angela, what do you mean by cut it?
Taking the dogs out totally.
Okay, so no dogs. Okay.
Right. But I want to give everybody a chance. Okay, I'm not saying we're going to do it immediately. I want to give everybody a chance. That's why I want to get the word out to everybody. A lot of people like it. They're very happy with it, but just clean up after themselves. You know, that's all.
Yes. That's why we did put the new signs up. What's that?
Do we need to have more signage up there?
We just ordered new signage and had it put up right during this COVID thing when it shut down. We ordered new signs, and the Public Works did put them up.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
We
so,
need more. I'm not sure. We put it on both entrances.
Yeah, and, you know, like that's why I said let's get the word out and just, you know, let people know. Like I said, I'm right across the street, so if I see people at the park, I'll go over and talk to them myself and tell them. You know, I try to do that because I don't want to take it away. I know they like going in there. They all get to chat and have their dogs run around and stuff. That's great, but they got to take care of it too, or else it's just not fair to everybody else that wants to go in there. All right. Next one, code enforcement. Steve, anything?
Yeah, so a code enforcement meeting was scheduled for last week. It's been postponed because of the COVID-19 restrictions. As soon as City Hall opens back up, our committee meetings will resume. So we're hoping in just a couple weeks we can get back in there.
All right. Parks and Playgrounds, Donna's not here. Joe?
She didn't relay anything to me. I know she's on vacation, so when she gets back, I'm sure she'll have a report for the next meeting.
Good. Nothing with ordinance. I know we're going to have an ordinance meeting. We got some stuff that we got to go over, but I really don't have anything with ordinance at this point. Land use board, Bob?
No, we had the meeting was canceled and scheduled next month or the end of next month. I forget when it, but it was canceled.
Okay. School board, Scott? Scott, you there? Mattia?
Sorry. I forgot to unmute myself. I have nothing, but I am going to keep an eye on because New Jersey apparently cut some of the stuff, some of the budget, so that might affect us on that. So we'll keep an eye on that, and I'll report later.
Okay, thank you. Jeff, Meg?
No, I have nothing. We haven't had any safety meetings in-house due to the COVID-19, but I did ask if, not right now, but I do have an announcement to make about the election. I don't know if you want me to do it now or I can wait till when you're ready.
No, you can do it now.
I did receive an email from the county late today. As your the primary, I believe, was supposed to be, on June, whatever. The primary is now July 7th. And the polling places, they picked the two polling places in Egg Harbor City that will be open the day of the election. I just got the email, later today, and the two places will be I haven't even notified them, but it's the Teamsters Hall and American Legion will be the two that are open. Mind you, everybody's supposedly getting a mail-in ballot, but they'll be open, I guess, for those who have issues. And there will be drop boxes around the county, which they have not released those locations yet, and I will give you that information as soon as I get it. But I thought it was a good time to mention that those are the two polling places. All of the polling places in Egg Harbor City said they were willing to be open except for Moravian Church. They did not want to because they've been closed since COVID-19 and they were afraid to reopen. So I did share that with the county. And all other polling places were, including City Hall, were willing to be open for the election, but they only were choosing two. And the county chose, like I said, Teamsters and American Legion. I have not notified them yet. I just got this information, but I wanted to give it to you.
So can voters go to either one of those places?
I understand that, mind you, this is all happening. I participated in a webinar earlier today. They're still working out the details, but everybody supposedly who's registered to vote is getting a mail-in ballot. And it's either to send it back or drop it in these drop boxes. However, they are going to have these two open, I guess, for provisional voters. Like I said, this is all unfolding as the day goes on, but I'm sure there's going to be many people who show up at these polling places not knowing what to do. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Thank God it's the primary. And for Egg Harbor City, it's not huge, but it is huge for other municipalities.
Absolutely.
It should be interesting, very interesting. That's all the information I have. And I will share as I get it. This was big. I just got this email at 4:00, and that was the two polling places. And like I said, I haven't even told the Teamsters Hall or American Legion, but both have agreed to be open. So I'm comfortable with telling you because they know that they said yes, they would do it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Meg.
Yes, that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Utilities, Bob.
Yep, same thing. We haven't had a meeting.
So there's no sign, you don't know when the negotiations are going to start or anything like that?
Ryan was going to get some paperwork out to the successful, who we decided would be the first person. Ryan, are you on?
Right.
Yeah, so we need to schedule a meeting to sort of have our first sit down. They provided some dates for next week, I believe, so I'll have to run them through and see if we can get, you know, a well-attended meeting to sort of sit down and have our first round of discussions with them.
City Hall is going to be open after what day?
Supposed to be open Monday.
And, okay, so we can actually hold that at City Hall in the council chamber.
Okay, yeah, that would be helpful.
Right, that way we could all sit down and talk. All right.
All right, well, I'll forward the list of dates then, and we'll try to pin something down.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Is that all you got, Bob?
That's it.
All right. I just all right, we'll just go on to the next one. No biggie. Number seven.
Can I make a comment? This is the mayor.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I would just like to remind everyone that the mayor is a member of every committee in the city, and when there are meetings, I would like to be invited to them. I mean, I should be invited to them because I am a member of every committee. So if you could please make an effort to send me an email or text message, I'd greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I usually have Meg or somebody send the email out for the committee meeting. So, and I think she knows that, so you'll be on there.
All right. Before we go to seven, hey, Ryan, you out there?
Yep.
All right, I got a question for you. That piece of property we talked about, I think the last meeting on London Ave, that area where the water picks up there, right behind the apartment complex there.
Yeah, the wooded area, sort of catty corner from City Hall.
Yeah, what can be done with that without doing any kind of impediment? Because that's like wetlands or something, right?
Yeah, well, that's any work that you would try to do there officially. You know, you would need a permit for disturbance of the wooded wetlands area in the middle there. You know, if there's some leaf accumulation around the edges, if there's, you know, a berm that was created that's causing problems, you know, you can do some things around the edges to try to relieve those circumstances. But, you know, it's not going to be something where you're going to be allowed to completely drain it if it holds water, you know, because that would be considered a direct impact to the wetland area. But I mean, I can come out and take a look at it and try to, you know, figure out a path forward to at least help with the drainage issue that's been noted there.
Yeah, that was my only question, because I know they're getting water on both sides of the property, on both properties, mm-hmm. on both sides. I was just wondering if maybe we can do something to, you know, I don't know, sandbags or something like that we could build that up a little bit to try to stop it from rolling outward if we do get a lot of rain and stuff. And I was just wondering, do we have to get permission for that, or
I mean, it depends how involved it gets, but generally speaking, Public Works has some, you know, levity that they can go out and, you know, do, like I said, as long as you're not doing out in the middle and filling it in or doing things like that. But yeah, you generally speaking, you can go and, you know, give it some positive relief somewhere, just to control it, so it's not just, you know, like I said, flowing out on the two neighboring properties. Ideally, you'd sort of concentrate that to an area where it could discharge out to the street or discharge to another, you know, stormwater collection system nearby without flooding adjacent properties.
Brian, is this the property next to the Baldies on the corner? Is that what they're talking
yes.
about there, like in the middle?
Yes.
Okay, so mm-hmm. that property, which I had expressed before, was supposed to be put on the foreclosure list many moons ago. And somehow mm-hmm. it did not get on that list. If the city can take control of that property as it should, or code enforcement can start fining the owners of that property, which they are in arrears and they have municipal liens against them, we can do something about the property. I don't believe that sending in Public Works to rectify the situation is an appropriate solution, because it kind of sometimes causes more problems than we had in the first place. So what's happening is there are berms now put up to prevent the flooding. So I would suggest the council pursue, as I had stated in some of the emails that I sent, putting this on the foreclosure list so that we can take control of the property. And if that's not acceptable to council, the code enforcement should really start following up on the owners of that property and getting that taken care of.
Yeah, when I looked at the liens with Laura, I mean, it was in the hundreds of thousands of dollar range. That's how long the taxes have been unpaid there. So, the likelihood of you being able to collect from the current owner is probably slim to none. But as you suggested, taking ownership of the property is step one, for trying to do any remediation on it. You don't want to be going onto a private property and making a bunch of revisions and then, you know, God forbid something worse would happen or, you caused worse flooding or something like that. And then there people are starting to ask questions of why we were even out there. So, yeah, I would agree that acquiring their property first is probably the best course of action.
That was going to be the finish to my conversation was that I think, as the mayor said, we should look at it acquiring it because then at least we can try to do something there. And if Ryan could go out there, we can meet Ryan out there and try to come up with something that because even if we have it, it's still going to hold water. Maybe we could find a way to try to relieve it. Like Ryan was saying, we could try to find a way to relieve it without creating damage or anything like that.
Yeah, just in a more controlled manner.
Yeah.
Well, I would say if Angela, do we need to do a resolution to get it put on the tax foreclosure list?
Was this ever placed on the foreclosure list before, Mayor?
It is on the foreclosure list, but we just need to have the tax collector move on it to get the attorney to put it to foreclose on it. There are a whole host of properties that I had sent out over a year ago to council to see which new ones they would want to put on the foreclosure list because normally if you do a grouping at the same time, it's more cost effective. But I think this one is really important and it really should be done whether we have other ones or not. So I think we need to direct the tax collector to give it to the foreclosure attorney and pursue this. That's my opinion. I'm not sure if we need a resolution to do that. I guess you would better answer that question.
You would. If you would like to do it tonight, you could do a resolution or you could wait and go. Ryan can go out there with Angelo or yourself and determine what else needs to be done to the property and then we could do a resolution after that. That's your choice.
I think Ryan already knows what needs to be done with it, right, Ryan? We have discussed this many times.
Yeah, we have a pretty good idea.
Okay. Then somebody wants to make the resolution, I'll prepare it, and it would have to be voted on.
We'll do it for next meeting. Are you okay with that? We'll do it for next meeting.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
All right, number 7, public hearing, 2020 Egg Harbor City Municipal Budget. Everybody, as everybody's aware, a lot of stuff changed. Jody, you could explain all that, would you please?
Sure.
Do we need to introduce for the public hearing yet, or
after meeting? Oh, yeah, do you want to do that first? That's fine.
I'm sorry, this is the public hearing. Could I get a motion to open the public hearing?
So moved, Brown.
Second.
Definitely.
Sorry, I'll second.
Okay. Public hearing
also,
is
Leon's
open.
On the line, too. Sorry.
Yes, I'm here. Right. Yep.
Leon's
on the phone if anybody has any further questions that I can't answer.
Yeah, can we go over what took place with the GIF and all that again, just so everybody's aware?
Sure. So in the introduced budget, we had our GIF dividend, which we had put in our budget a few years ago. It used to be unanticipated, and then a few years ago we had kind of put it in, but unfortunately we knew that at some point it was going to end with the new GIF. We don't get the dividend anymore. So unfortunately this year when the state asked us to verify it and we went to confirm with the GIF, they said that most likely it will be drastically reduced. They won't even have the amount till maybe September, but that the years that we've been getting dividends on are mostly closed. So we had to take that out of the budget. So that was $33,452, which I had emailed that out last week. And then I believe Angelo kind of talked to Vernon, sent a couple emails with some options that We could either, one, just kind of leave it and put it, you know, a larger tax increase than we had originally planned, or we could use some more of the wetlands money. And I know Bob and Angelo and I believe we're in favor of kind of doing a mix, putting half of that $33,000 using some additional wetlands money and then doing half of it as a tax increase. So instead of 2.5 cents, it went to 3.3 cents of a tax increase. Does that make sense? And then if you want me to go through the other changes, this is really for the public hearing, but when we get to the amendment, I could just explain what will be in there. I made a couple appropriation changes that I had emailed out yesterday, just moving an additional $2,500 to buildings and grounds. I took that out of gasoline, and then moving $8,000 from police salaries to other expenses to cover some uniforms for new hires to replace some of the officers we lost. So those didn't change any totals. It was just moving from one line item to another, so that didn't increase anything or change anything.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions?
So at this point, the 3.3 cents, so that everybody's aware, what is that in dollars?
It's approximately $40 on the average home assessment of 125.
Okay. Anybody from the public have questions?
Yes.
Yes, I have a statement.
Okay, who is this?
This is Lauren.
Go ahead, young lady.
I missed that. Say it again.
Lauren Locke.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
All right.
What's your address, where you live?
Yeah, I'm on 128 Boston Ave, and I've been here for 6 years.
Okay.
And I just have a statement I wrote, if you don't mind me reading it.
Sure.
All right.
This is a public hearing on the budget, remember.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking for the public thing. Never mind. I'm sorry.
No, that'd be at the end. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sorry about that.
All right. Anybody else had a question on the budget?
Yes, if I could, please.
Yes.
Your name?
Good evening, Council President, Mayor and Council. This is Jack Peterson, 158 Baltimore Avenue.
Hi, Jack.
Good evening, everyone. Listen, I know it's been a long haul for you guys and having to deal with trying to hold these meetings and just conduct normal business, if there is anything like that right now, over the phone and all that has been a challenge, and much respect to all of you for enduring this and making it happen. I know there's a lot of things going on, and when you have complications like this, it takes an extra effort, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to talk a little bit and offer my opinion as a former council person, and I've walked the same paths that you folks are walking or will walk, and you know, just a perspective from somebody that has experienced both the bad and the good, and we do it for the good that we can do, and you'll find that out. I know that there's an initiative to hire a public safety director and all that. Okay. I'm most concerned, though, about our ability to pay for it without having to displace funds from some other projects or whatever the case may be. So, there's going to be tax increases. I know that. I hate it. It happens. I feel bad for people that are not as fortunate as me to have a good job and still working. It's tough. I think you're going to have a tough year in collections this year. There's a tax increase. It's going to be a tough nut to swallow, especially since a lot of people weren't working. So that being said, you know, there's other communities, and it's hard to compare one community to another, but if you read the papers, there's other communities that are in better financial shape than we are just by virtue of the fact that they have the revenues that have put a hiring freeze on. Okay, now, whether that's right or wrong for us, I don't know, as long as we can pay for it. So I know you're probably down a couple of police officers that probably frees up money in the police budget to hire a public safety director. But if you're going to bring those officers back on and bring it back up to full staff, you know, have you thought about how we're going to pay for that? And I know you just had to pay out from for Jerry had left and was owed back vacation time. You know, I don't know if that affects the general budget or if that's out of the utilities budget or whatever, but either way, it's $25,000. It doesn't matter. It all comes out of the same pot. So I just want to make sure that we're going to be able that the decisions that we make are going to be sustainable, but by revenue, by having the revenue to pay for them. And I know that you're in a tough spot because things didn't work out as the way we thought they were, and they rarely do. So, you know, now we're having to rely on non-recurring revenue. And I know you've heard this 100 times. I'm not going to beat a dead horse because your 2 professionals have advised you of this. And I know that everyone understands it, but sometimes you have to do what you have to do. So the only thing that happens there is that you have double the makeup the next year, you know, until you run out or until you hit the lottery. And me trying to be a little conservative, I don't want to try and pay for things unless I know that I can afford them. And this feels like a credit card to me. So sooner or later, you're going to have to pay the bill. You know, buy it now and don't pay for it for 2 years. I don't think that's an effective way to run a business. And you got to kind of, when it comes to the money, you got to kind of run the city like a business. So listen, I know how budgets work. You have money in different places. You can move stuff around. But the bottom line is your biggest expenses are related to employees, payroll, salaries, benefits. That is the number one expense. And you know what it is, but there isn't much that you can do about it because that's never, ever going to go away as long as you have employees. You have no control over that. To increase employees, it's going to cost you more money. You know, again, I'm very fortunate. I'm able to pay my taxes. I think I got a great deal where I'm at, and I love living in the town. But I don't want to have to pay any more than I should have to, and I don't think anybody else does either, including yourselves, because you're all taxpayers just like me and public servants now, as I once was and still am. So, you know, make the right decisions for the right reasons. I appreciate the endurance that it takes to manage all the pitfalls that you come, but I just want to be assured, you know, that you're going to be able to pay for this stuff. So you have to find some way to generate income to the city, more taxpayers, more revenue. Are we not worried that collections are going to be down this year and it's going to be hard to do tax sales on properties that nobody wants to buy the tax sales on? Because this is a big problem all over in other communities. Are we going to be able to collect all of our taxes this year? You know, these are just some of the things that I'm thinking about. So I'm not really, I know I threw a lot at you there. I'm not really asking a lot of questions. I'm just making a statement and along the lines of generating revenue. Listen, the police department costs us a lot of money. I don't have to tell you, if you look at the budget, it's almost $1.9 million or more. I could be off a little bit, but it's a lot of money to potentially increase the number of the budget that I, you know, we have to stop somewhere. We got to draw the line. I don't know why you don't promote a chief. If the present administration and there doesn't want to do it, then advertise for a chief. And this is just my opinion. You know, just to get to this point, it's cost you a lot of money in advertising and all that. It doesn't make any difference. If you have some way to pay for it, I'm all for it. I'll support you. I hope that it works. But you have to give me a warm and fuzzy feeling that we're going to be able to pull all this off financially. So I'm not intimate with the budget. I'm just giving you a seat of the pants opinion, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to talk. And again, I thank you all for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Just my just pleasure. So thank you.
Jack, just so you understand, at this point, this public safety director is only until December 31st. From that point, we'll go back in and discuss it and see where we're at. And as far as us saying we should get a chief, the chief adds another $115,000 a year to the budget. Okay, so that's something that we have to explore, and we have to see affordability-wise. Okay, now I know us using the sale of this wetland is not a great thing to do, and I understand that. But for me, and I'm sure everybody else on council feels the same way, we got to do as much as we can with what we got. And if we can use half of it to take $30-something dollars or $40 off the taxes, I feel that it's got a possibility that it's going to help, because next year we're going to be getting property tax from the new from that new TBI hospital. If we sell the water plant, we're going to be getting taxes from the water plant. So we do have some stuff that's coming forward, and I know you shouldn't count on everything, but as the mayor stated, once we get this escrow, we're looking pretty good. So I'm just we got to try to say, we've been this budget. I'll give everybody that's been on council before us a lot of credit, because it's on a shoestring. Jody, Meg, all of them have been counting every penny that they could possibly count. Okay, but if you look all the way around us, our taxes are way up, and if we can, I don't want to lose any more people, and I don't want to scare them off, people coming in to buy property, if we're going to always keep increasing. So we're working on trying to find ways to alleviate that, and we're doing the best we can. And with us using, if we go with half this year, half next year, it gives us a little bit anyway. So that was, I think, the thought process in when we did it with the budget, as far as using the
way. You didn't have a choice, Angelo. I get it. You have to do what you have to do, because there's no other out. But that being said, you should also look at decreasing expenses in other places also. But along the lines of, trying to bring people into the town, I'm just going to pick a number. For $40,000, if you hired or turned one of your code enforcement guys into a full-time code enforcement guy and started to encourage the property owners that let their properties go, most of them being rentals, that you would then change the image of the town and people would come and want to live here. So the problem that I have with the public safety director is he's overhead. He's 100% overhead. He can't enforce any laws. He can't carry a gun legally. There's discrepancy over there, but that doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to put boots on the ground. He can motivate people to do that, but he's not going to help your code enforcement. He's not going to do that. If you took that $40,000 and got a part-time city administrator, somebody that could spend all day trying to find grant money or something like that, now he's turned into a revenue-producing person. I'm just trying to get the biggest bang for my buck.
I understand that, Jack.
Listen, Angelo, with all due respect, I'm not being critical. Don't get me wrong. I'm just offering my opinion. You guys are doing a good job. I know there's a lot going on. I'm just offering you another perspective. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Jack. We will take that into consideration.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else? No? Once? Twice? Three times? All right.
Angelo,
motion to close
public. Angela, I would just like to bring out to the forefront that our general levy breakdown that we collect from people, 43% of that approximately goes to the municipal portion of it, and 57% of what we collect in taxes goes to other entities. For example, approximately 12% goes to the county, 14% goes to the regional school, 31% goes to the local school. So only 43% of what our tax rate is goes to run the city. And as I've stated in the past, we have had a significant decrease in revenue, a significant decrease in valuation, and that's what drives the tax rate up. So I just wanted to say that it's no fault of council for inappropriate spending, okay, on luxury items that causes these tax increases. And just so people know that, over the past 14 years that I've been involved with, we've pretty much cut the appropriations by 10% each year, and it still doesn't make a difference. As the current council has seen this year, we reduced our appropriations by about $85,000 with the court revenue, and we're still looking at a 3-cent tax increase. And until we start getting properties online, like the water treatment plant, the tower site, and all that, there's really no solution to it other than growing the money tree out in the back of City Hall. I think we've been very prudent in our spending, and hopefully that'll continue in the future. And that's all I have to
Absolutely.
Say.
I thank you, Mayor. I appreciate that. And like I said, we're doing our best, so we're gonna see what we can do and try to keep having at it to get the best bang for our buck. Motion to close public hearing.
So moved, Trizol.
So moved, Brown.
Second?
Second, Stefan.
All right. Number 8, resolution amend 2020 Egg Harbor City budget, municipal budget. Is there any questions or anybody that has anything to say about the budget at this point where we're at? Anybody on council? Mayor, anybody?
Jody, explain the amendment.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
That's what I went over while we were in the public hearing, that it was
maybe do it again
money.
So the people know.
Sure. It was, we moved half of the GIF dividend, which was originally $33,452. We took half of that and put it in additional wetlands. So the wetland feed restriction revenue went from $38,400 to $55,126. The GIF dividend went from $33,452 to zero. And then the tax amount to be raised by taxation went from $4,620,748 to $4,637,474. The total amount of the budget stayed the same at $6,251,508.39. In the appropriation side, building and grounds, other expenses went from $25,000 to $27,500. Police salaries and wages went from $1,283,000 to $1,275,000. Police other expenses went from $81,100 to $89,100. Gasoline went from, there's a typo in here. Give me one sec. Gasoline went from $47,500 to $45,000, and so the total appropriations did not change at all. It stayed at the same $6 million as the total budget,
$6,251,508.39. And I would like to add to that, if you don't mind, that the police budget was expected to have a $4,000 increase, and it did not, because we did prorate the salaries of new hires from June to July.
So that was a wash. There was no increase in the police budget except for the $12,000 decrease that was put to parks and playgrounds to fund the crossing guards at the lake to enforce social distancing and cleaning and disinfecting the bathrooms.
Okay. Leon, you got anything to add to that? Or
the only thing I want to say is that the mayor mentioned the possible new revenue that's coming in. You have the potential new revenue coming in from the sale of the utility. You are a small community. Every $19,800 is a penny on the tax rate. So any source of revenue that you can get is usually welcomed. As mentioned before, you are not a spending problem. Your spending is well under control. You've been very frugal over many, many years. That's not the issue. And we also have the possibility of some federal funds. We don't know what they're going to be from the virus. That there's going to be something someplace down the road, but we just don't know what it's going to be yet that could help. And the one taxpayer that mentioned collections, we do 44 towns, and you're obviously one of them. The revenues have been pretty good through May. I think August is the one we got to watch out for. As things get reopened and things get back into, I won't say normal because it's not even close to normal, but as they start to get back to, opening and generating income, that things should improve. The taxes that you don't collect in 2020, we'll be able to anticipate them as a delinquent collection in 2021, so we're not really losing it. It's just a matter of what year you're going to get it in. So I think you have some bright spots to look forward to. Once this utility does come to fruition and you do sell it, I think I've mentioned in the past that we need to make a big, big plan as to how you're going to manage that and make sure that we get tax relief for many years coming from it, if that's going to be the case, and not squander it all in one shot. So this budget is as lean as it can be, and 3 cents is, I know it sounds like a lot, but it's certainly very manageable, and I think we got better days coming, believe it or not.
We're hoping so, Leon. I appreciate that. Anybody else got anything to say on the budget before we vote on it? Okay. Let's get
so
a roll call.
This is the amendment. We need an introduction. It's a resolution,
yes.
Intro, a second, and
this
then a roll
call.
This
is for the amendment, correct? This is for the amendment, correct?
Yes, it's the amendment. It's the amendment, yes.
Okay. Can I get a roll call, please?
Well, I need an introduction. And a second. I didn't hear it if it happened.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Does someone want to introduce the resolution?
Introduce it.
Can I get
a motion?
Honored.
I got it.
You got it? Roll call.
Brown.
I'm so confused right now. My phone went out. I don't even know what we're doing right now.
This is the amendment, the changes that Jody spoke on.
So we're not actually voting on the budget right now.
No, that's next.
Not yet.
This is the amendment.
Okay. Yes.
From what was introduced at the meeting, I believe, in May, right, Jody? First meeting in May?
Right. It's an amendment from
okay.
the changes.
Dash?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mays?
Yes.
Richie?
Yes.
Sefton?
Yes.
Trythall?
Scott, you there?
Ross?
Sorry, I forgot to unmute. Yes.
Ross?
Ross, yes.
Lello?
Yes. All right, number 9. Adopt Amendment 2020, Aker City Municipal Budget. Roll call.
We need an introduction.
Oh, can I get a motion, please?
This is Ross. I'll move it again.
Can I get a second?
I didn't hear that. Who was that? Was that Sefton?
No.
Could I get a second, please?
I'll second it, Sefton.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Roll call, please.
Now, roll call. Bram?
No.
Dash?
Yes.
Maze?
No.
Richie?
No.
Sefton?
No.
Trythal? Trythal?
No. Can you hear me?
Yes, I heard you. Ross?
Sorry.
I'm going to vote no as well.
Lello?
Yes.
Okay, we had six no, and two yes.
Okay. Back to John, boy.
Okay, so right now you don't have a budget, and the next step would be, will there be any proposed other amendments to the budget that would be considered, or table it for tonight?
I make a motion to table.
Can I get a second?
Richard, a second. Charles' motion.
Roll call?
Do I need a... I don't think I need a roll call.
No?
No.
Okay. All right. We'll move on. Number 10.
Can I just ask how do we move forward with this?
Okay. Now, the next thing is to have a budget committee meeting and discuss what changes you want to make, because obviously tonight's budget is not acceptable to the majority. So there needs to be another meeting to get to be what is acceptable, or bring it back for another vote at the next meeting.
Okay.
You've had the public hearing, you've had the amendment, so you've done all the procedures that you need to do. Now it's a matter of getting a vote to accept it or a vote to change it again.
Okay. Is there anything I need to do to send to the state or anything? No? Okay.
No, nothing.
Thank you.
Yeah, zero. So now it's a matter of all the no votes, what do you want to change is what it comes down to.
Okay.
And let Jody or I know what the next steps
are. So anyone who voted no needs to tell us what they want to change.
Yes. Yeah. What changes do you want to make? Yeah.
All right. So hold on 1 minute. We're going to do that. We're going to have a meeting for the budget on the 23rd.
The 23rd is Tuesday.
Yes.
You want to call a special, like a budget workshop meeting?
Yes.
Okay. Do we have a time?
We'll do it at, is 7 o'clock good for everybody?
Yes.
Is this phone or in person?
I'm good for that.
Yeah,
we can do it in person, can't we?
I don't know. Angela, you had mentioned that having meetings in person may still be difficult.
If we have more than 25 people, it'll still be difficult. But by the 23rd, we might be able to do it. I guess we'll have to wait too.
It's not going to be a public meeting when we're just the budget, is it?
I think they have to be, right?
No, public.
Are we going to have a workshop first?
Right, yes. We'll have a workshop.
On the 23rd.
I don't see it being more than 25 people at the workshop.
Well, it would be open to the public.
Yes.
We can...
I'm advertising a meeting... Right. I'm going to advertise a meeting.
If you advertise it, can you get people to contact you that they're coming so we do have a count?
Probably not, but I'm going to advertise it for for a public hearing. Wait. And if they're at the last minute, we'll get it out there just like we did in the past with the COVID-19. We'll move
well,
forward.
I have a question. This is Bob. Why can't we have the people at from council and the mayor and our financial people in the council and have the public on phone conference?
You can.
That's what I was going to say. Why can't we just open have a live stream for the public to chime in and dial in?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, there are all things we can work out, so I'll figure it out. But right now, the meeting will be June 23rd, and I'll work it out with Angela tomorrow, correct?
Yes,
sound good, Angela?
We'll do it.
All right.
That'll work. Okay. All right, let's go to 10. Discussion/resolution support sustainable community grant application. So, Jody, can you explain this? I know you sent this out to everybody with some options. Did we lose Jody?
I'm sorry. What?
We're on this
number
sustainable
10?
Jersey sorry. Grant application.
Sustainable Jersey has a grant out. Oh, I just. Does anyone else need Leon? I don't want to keep him on the phone. I don't know if he already.
No.
Still here.
Are you gonna be able to make that 23rd meeting, Leon?
I definitely will because we need to get
okay.
the thing done. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll be
Leon.
In person.
Yes. All right. Thank you for coming. I appreciate you showing you calling in.
Thank you, Leon.
Okay. Good night, guys.
Thanks, Leon.
Thank you, Leon.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Okay. Number 10. So Sustainable Jersey has a grant program out, and it is sponsored by Atlantic City Electric. There's either an environmental stewardship or a resiliency grant that you can receive. You can apply for both. I did email out the council last night some ideas that Nanette and Ryan had come up with. So if we want to do an application, we need to know like what you would want to apply for, if you want to apply for anything, and if any of those ideas sound good. I can read out what I sent yesterday. The resiliency ideas were... And I don't know if we have enough information for this yet, but the engineers are working on an inspection of the dam. So if there's any repairs needed, maybe that would be something we could apply for, possibly a comprehensive tree maintenance program where we could hire a company to inspect the street trees, prune them, remove any that need to be removed, and possibly fund any replacements. Adding a battery bank to the municipal building or firehouse, which could go with the proposed solar project, or possibly pay for some special police department or emergency management training. Under the environmental stewardship, one of the ideas was to fund a portion of a master plan reexamination, maybe the open space and recreation element, possibly.
So what's everybody think?
Are you asking which one of those things we want to see, or are you asking us if we're just going to support the grant process?
Which one council would like to apply for? What of those projects sound like something council's interested in pursuing?
I would like to see the trees, maintenance on the trees. And maybe
I think the tree thing, that way we kind of know where we stand. I kind of like that one. And also the dam.
Can I weigh in on this? I would like to see all of them, actually, but we do have to pay in 2021 for a new master plan. And in order to pay for a new master plan, you are going to have to increase spending, which increases taxes. So you may want to have that frame of mind before you actually decide on which one of those items you would like, as also you do for the dam. So the two things that are going to impact the budget next year are the dam and also the other one.
The master plan.
Well, the master plan reexamination, we could, unless anyone has any other environmental stewardship ones that are not listed here, if you look through the slide that I had attached, there were some other ideas, but that's the only, you can apply for both types. You won't get both, but you can apply for both, so we could still apply for the master plan and also for either the dam repairs or, you know, what other ones under resiliency that council would be interested in. You could apply for both if you want.
Yeah, Jody, that's where I thought your email read, and I was going to say the same thing. Why don't we just apply across, shoot it across all
but we still need to pick one under resiliency. So we could do the master plan for sure, because that's the only thing we really had under environmental stewardship. But we would need to select whether you'd want to do the dam or, as you mentioned, the tree, or if there is any of the others that anybody else is interested in. So one of the resiliency, we'd have to pick one.
Okay, so I would say
the dam. If it's
something
we're going to have to pay for later, then we should go with that.
Hey, Jody, what's the cost to us for this grant?
I can do the application for it, so there's no cost for applying. It would just be if there was any additional cost that the grant didn't cover. It looks like the grants for environmental stewardship, there's six $5,000 grants and 10 $20,000, or I'm sorry, $2,000 grants that they'll be giving out. So they're not, you know, going to cover that much of the master plan. And the resiliency grants are two $10,000 grants and one $5,000 grant. So there's not that many grants that they're giving out, but
Yeah, I was just concerned, you know,
there's
it's like,
no match or anything.
There is no match. Okay, so
not
that's what I was just asking because my concern was, you know, like the gentleman, they said, you know, being frugal with our expenses, because I was looking at how much of it is available, and it's not really that much of a grant.
No,
that's why I asked
not.
how much
it's
we would
not.
Have to fork out.
It would just depend if there was, you know, if it didn't cover the cost of it, that would be our share, obviously. Whatever we pick, if it didn't cover it, that would be our share. There's no required match in the grant.
Okay.
So
okay.
The master plan
that's
is not a good thing because that's already passed
Correct.
Due. So I
Correct.
Think that might that should be one we should go after. That's
yeah,
my opinion.
No, I was looking at the expenses on your email. And it said professional services, but if you can cover, you know, writing for the grant and all that, that's a fee we don't have to pay for.
Right.
Okay, that was my question about it. Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, Angela. What was your
I was just suggesting. I know the master plan we definitely have to do because it's due.
Right.
So that one there, I would say yes to, and if the dam's going to add to the budget, then maybe we should look at the dam, getting the dam done, and hold off on the trees.
I agree.
No,
Ryan, have an idea when the dam report will be completed?
Yeah, I actually just got the estimate earlier today. I just haven't been able to forward it to you yet. So you
okay? So I just want to make sure we'd have some time that you know we'd have that information before the grant would be due and before all that. Okay.
Yeah, we completed the report.
Okay.
I don't know, probably 2 weeks ago, and then just needed to prepare the estimate so you guys knew. You know,
okay.
I know that's question number one. So.
Okay.
Mr.
So,
President, I make a motion. For the sustainable communities grant.
Do I have a second?
Across the board.
Could I get a
second? Brown. All in favor?
Aye.
Roll call.
Aye.
Aye. That's a roll call. I'm sorry.
Brown?
Yes.
Dash?
Yes.
Mays?
Yes.
Richie?
Yes.
Sefton?
Yes.
Trisol?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Lello?
Yes. All right. Number 11. Resolution. Utility credit for second quarter. Florence Maxwell. 1251-1259 Havana Ave. Due to a leak, this was the lady that had the problem before. I guess this was the rollover from that problem. Is that correct?
Yes.
Richie will make the motion.
Bob. Okay. Richie, sorry. Was that Richie?
Trifle second.
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Roll call.
Brown.
Yes.
Dash.
Yes.
Mays.
Yes.
Richie.
Yes.
Sefton?
Yes.
Kreisel?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Lello?
Yes.
Number 12, resolution bid threshold increase from 40 to 44,000. Can we get an explanation on that, please?
Yes, every 5 years the state increases or changes the threshold. So the last time that was done was in 2015. So now it's been 5 years. So the state just allows an increase in the bid threshold. So it went from 40,000 to 44,000.
Okay, can I get a motion? Second.
Richie.
Can I get a second?
I got it.
Right, I'll second. Okay.
Oh, I thought I had it. I'm sorry.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Number 13, Ordinance 11-2020, amending the Code of City of Egg Harbor, Part 1, Administrative Legislation, Chapter 52, Officers and Employees, and creating Article, I'm not very good at that, but providing for establishment of a position of Public Safety Director. Could I get a motion for, is this a public hearing? Could I get a motion to open the hearing?
Yes, that's what you're doing.
So moved, Brown.
Could I get
second.
Okay, the public hearing is now open. Any questions, statements, anything like that from the public?
Yeah.
I have a comment, please.
Yes. Jack, is that you?
I'm sorry. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. the ordinance has a minimum 20 hours, maximum 29 hours. That's a pretty big spread. You know, let's call it 10 hours difference. That's 2 days, you know, presence, depending on how many hours a day you work. Or if we're talking about hours, it's a difference between $30 an hour and $20 an hour. Or $30 an hour, $40 an hour. Either way, I think you need to close that spread. You know, I know that it's a salary position, but you know, everybody should be held accountable. I think somewhere in the middle would be more equitable to everybody. You know, minimum of 25 hours, maximum of 29 hours. I know you've already produced a document in the ordinance or whatever. That's just my comment, and I thank you for allowing me the opportunity.
Thank you, Jack. Anybody else?
Yes, Amy Kramer?
Yes.
If I'm reading this right, you're going to vote now to establish the position, and then you're going to appoint a public safety director here on number 15. That's what it looks like to me.
Yes.
And I'm just confused because this was all brought up originally on April 23rd. That was only 49 days ago, and it was specifically stated at that meeting that there was no money in the budget for this, that the authorization to publicize the RFQ was just to consider the position, to have people apply, set up meetings, and I don't want to just use your first name. I don't know if it's Mrs. Costigan. Specifically said that it would be somewhat of a long process, and I just don't know where, like, we found in 49 days that's not a long process at all. And at the same meeting, you guys all voted to table a pavement management program because, Angelo, you said until we know where we're at with the budget. So we're going to find money to start a new position, but we're tabling pavement projects?
No, the pavement project was tabled because of where we were starting and ending from. That's why, because we had to find out, because it was costing extra money to do a continuance. So it was being tabled so we could sit down and discuss with the redevelopment committee on, originally it was the 300 and 200 block. Okay, that was what the grant was set up for. It was costing us extra money to add the 400, the rest of the 400 block on there. Okay, that's why it was tabled so it can be discussed.
All right, well, I mean, that aside, I still don't understand where we got money in the last about month and a half to put in a whole new position, and, like, what happened to the long process?
Only one person applied.
But, I mean, like, it was said in the meeting, like, you need to find money for it. Like, how did we find money that fast?
What's helping us is... This is only a temporary position at this point until December. It's only going to cost, what was the cost, Judy?
$12,000? Hold on. It was a little bit more than that. It was
$12,500 or something, you said?
I mean, we just eliminated a whole other position to save half a penny in the budget, and now we're adding another, you know, another position, and we haven't even settled the budget for this year yet.
At $600 a week for assuming 28 weeks, if he starts on the 15th, it would be $16,800 for the year.
So okay. How much did that add to the budget? I can't remember. I think it was like, what was it, 10 to every 10,000?
We didn't change anything with the police salaries. That there was other officers that had left that basically just took the place of.
So it didn't affect the budget, correct, Judy?
I'm sorry, say that again.
It didn't affect the budget because of the police officers that we lost, correct?
Correct. It was just basically putting him in instead of a different officer that was in, that has left.
I'm just going to throw 2 cents in. This is Bob. I'm going to throw 2 cents in. It did affect the budget because without those two salaries, it would have lowered the money that we're going to spend. So even though you're saying that it's going to even out, we could have saved money. That's why I voted against the budget, because I don't think this position should be in. So that's why I'm going to vote against this.
Yeah, I also noticed you and Steve Dash had abstained from voting, and I don't know if you have to explain that, but I was just curious why both of you had abstained from voting for that.
I abstained. This is Councilman Dash. I abstained because the concept was new, and I hadn't really known too much about it. I knew the individual that is being referenced here, and I remember he was public safety director before, and I had no issue with that at all. But at that time, I wasn't really sure if that was the right way to go. So I had other questions I wanted to have answered.
Right.
I had an opportunity to ask those questions.
And I'll tell you why I abstained, because I wasn't for the budget, but I understand we have to pass a budget. Now, my abstention is not a yes vote, so it counts as a no vote. But I understand.
Right.
I wanted people to know that I understand we have to have a budget. And I knew that I was in the minority for this position, so I just didn't agree with this position. So that's why I abstained.
So the person that's going to get appointed was already, like, in mind? Because it just, like, that
I have
really,
no
I
idea.
Mean, that just adds
no.
To the...
No, there was
an ad put in the paper.
There was an ad put in the paper for this. So anybody that wanted to apply for it had the opportunity to apply for it. There was no one picked for this position. Anybody that wanted to apply for it had the opportunity. It was in the paper for this. Is that correct, Angela?
No, it was on our website. I did send it to the police, but I don't think they put it on their website. We did not advertise. It was too costly to advertise. I think they wanted like $600 to put it in the press. And that was, it was not advertised. It was put on our website. I sent it to the police department, but I do not think they put it on their website.
Is this a public hearing?
Yep.
This is Nanette Galloway. I'm kind of out of the loop these days. But could you explain to me why we need a public safety director?
You want me to speak on that, Angela?
Yes, would you please, Angela?
Yes, okay. So upon review of the ordinances in the city of Egg Harbor, we realized that at some point the ordinance for the director of public safety was repealed. So when mayor and council was reviewing the police department, what it needed, what it didn't need, it realized that perhaps it did need a director of public safety. So the first thing we needed to do is set up an ordinance to establish the position of director of public safety. So the ordinance references a couple of laws. The first law is the police force law, the creation and establishment, which provides that along with the mayor, you could have a director of public safety in order to direct the police department in its work. And the second law was, hello, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. And the second law is the municipal department. And that law also provides for department heads. And so when the mayor and council was reviewing the police department, its budget, the fact that we didn't have a police chief, we thought it would be best if we got a public safety director. It was cheaper than hiring a police chief. It's part-time. It's for 6 months to see how well the public safety director could handle the police department, how the city would run with a public safety director, and at the finish of the 6 months, which would be December 31st, it would be back to mayor and council to decide if this was good for the city or if this was no good for the city, at which point they would then figure out if a public safety director should be continued for next year or not. So it was essentially to make the police department run more efficiently, make the police department a little bit cheaper at this point in time. That's why.
So the mayor is the statutory head of the police department, is that right?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, in her duty as mayor, she is head of the police department. Like, she has control of the police department, right?
Well, in the city form of government, she's the appointing authority. That's correct.
So I'm curious to know, does the mayor want this to happen?
The statute provides that it's the mayor's appointment with the advice and consent of council.
But
she would have
that,
to agree. Yes.
Creating the position. Does she want this position created?
It's her appointment with the advice and consent of council.
Excuse me?
It is her appointment with the advice and consent of council. But it's the council. The council, he needs to pass the ordinance. The mayor can't pass the ordinance. The ordinance is a law, but the mayor needs to make the appointment. Yes, you're correct on that.
Well,
That's not the question she's asking.
She wants this to happen? I mean, she's been involved with the police department for the last 10 years, 12 years. And
Mayor, do you want to speak on that?
When that council came in, they moved away from having a public safety director, and they were trying to get a police chief. Now we're going back to the way it was before. I just want to know why you guys want that to happen. That's all. I there's got to be some logic behind that, and I'd be curious to know what it is. It's just that it's going to be cheaper.
Well, basically, we would like the police department to run a little more cheaply than hiring a police chief, and we would like to see if a public safety director is the way to go for the next 6 months. Because if it's not the way to go, mayor and council has to go back to the drawing board and figure out what it would like to do next year.
Okay. has the city ever considered doing a shared services position for a chief?
For a chief, no, but the city has considered. In fact, the state came in and is doing a work study program involving the police. It's called a workforce program, and it's going to tell us if perhaps a shared services agreement would be best. It's going to tell us where our spending is. So, yes, they are considering that.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So, may I speak again, Mr.
Sure.
Council President?
Yes, sir.
Angela, the question that she was asking wasn't the and Dan, if I'm getting this wrong, holler. Wasn't the technical aspects of creating the ordinance into position. She wants to know, was this the mayor's idea? And the other thing that she alluded to was the it is up to the mayor to say whether they want a public safety director or not. And the mayor is the in charge of the police department, and by statute, if you read it, and it's in our code book, she is the ultimate police authority, and has the authority to appoint or discipline or discharge employees at her discretion.
Right.
So that's to answer Nan's question. So the question that isn't being answered from Nan is, you know, is this initiative coming from the mayor or in agreement with the mayor? Or
it wouldn't be up to me if it wasn't agreed with by the mayor.
Okay. Answered Nan's question.
I will weigh in on this, that this was not the mayor's decision. Okay. However, what you're stating, Jack, is correct in the current code book. But what's going to happen is that now the appropriate authority position is being taken away from me and bestowed on a public safety director. And I have been doing this for the past 14 years. So that's what the ordinance actually is for. That's when you have a public safety director. The appropriate authority is the public safety director, and that's what the ordinance states. And if, Angela, if I'm incorrect, you can tell me that. But I'm not at liberty to speak any more on this because of litigation and things like that. So that's all I can basically say on the matter.
Mayor, you're partially correct, but the appropriate authority under the statute would only be for a full-time public safety director. What we have here is a part-time public safety director, so the statute does not provide for the appointing authority as such. If at some point we got a full-time public safety director, then at that point they would be the appropriate authority.
Okay, so Angela, I guess I'm reading the ordinance wrong then. So as far as I could see on the ordinance, that the new public safety director that the council has approved of is the appropriate authority, is that not correct now? Am I confused?
The ordinance refers to the two statutes. And one of the statutes, the one talking about municipal department, talks about the appointing authority, and it talks about the appropriate authority. The appropriate authority pursuant to the statute would only be a full-time public safety director. What we have here is a part-time public safety director. So, Mayor, you're still the appropriate authority.
Okay, well, I don't believe that's – I must be reading it wrong in the ordinance.
Mr. President, may I make a statement? It's clear.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mr. Mays.
Okay, now, since 1858, since this city was formed, okay, the mayor is the authority. We shouldn't change that. I said it – I didn't know this had taken place. And I made it clear. Let me finish. I made it clear weeks ago. I kept asking the question: is the mayor still head of authority since 1858? I made that clear. Now, something happened between the last month. this we can't do. We have to be diligently to the point. If we're going to have a city run properly, you can't change things just to be changing it. I made it clear weeks ago. It's in the minutes. And I didn't know that part that had came up. This I'm not aware of this.
The authority is not being taken away from the mayor. Is that correct,
Angela? Yes, that's correct.
That's
yes.
Was your question, right? That was your question, right, Mr. Mays?
Yes.
Okay, well, we should really look at the ordinance that's before us, and just to be clear that what it actually says. So I think, Angela, do you have that in front of you right now?
I do.
Go ahead. It says here, as far as I can see under experience, I don't know if this is, it says ordinance number 2020. It says from what I can see, maybe I don't have the revised one, which is possible. It says here, the director shall possess and is designated the appropriate authority pursuant to NJSA 40A-14-118, but the director's responsibility for the fiscal administration affairs of the police department shall be blah, 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 to other provisions of the municipal code. So where am
okay.
I confused on this? Let me know.
So the appropriate authority as designated under statute 40A-14-118 is only a full-time public safety director.
Okay,
so
but the ordinance that is presented in front of council is says on 52-25 powers and duties, it states
right.
The director shall possess and is designated the appropriate authority pursuant to NJSA 40A-14-118. I think that's where the question is coming in. So maybe if we can answer that, it will help to, you know, move along the discussion.
Yes. If we look at that statute talks about the appropriate authorities being the mayor or the chief of police, but it also calls for a full-time public safety director. So in other words, if we had a public safety director pursuant to this law, they would be the appropriate authority. We don't have a public safety director who's full-time right now. We only have a part-time. So, Mayor, you're still the appropriate authority.
Okay.
Let me ask
so
you, who gave the authority? Who gave the authority for this to happen? I made clear, so I've been duped with this. This has been a change. You can't do things like that.
What change
I'm sorry,
was
Mr.
there?
Mays, but there was no change.
I'm sorry?
The mayor's still the authority. The mayor's still the head of the police department.
No, yeah, but then you're breaking it down and says on a day-to-day basis, she wouldn't be.
No, I didn't. What we did is we took it directly from the statute, directly from the law, and gave him these powers.
But it shouldn't
because
have been done, and that's all us know. We didn't, the whole council didn't know this. Everybody should have known this.
The ordinance was out. How long ago was that ordinance put out there in the emails? When was this ordinance come out?
About 3-4 weeks.
I asked a question openly. That didn't come up.
The ordinance was introduced at the last council meeting, which was May 28th.
I asked the question over and over.
The mayor isn't losing authority over the police department. That you asked
yes,
that
she
question.
Is. Yes, she is. Yes, she is. Let's be honest about this.
Listen, I think where the confusion is coming in is what I just brought up on 52-25 under powers and duties. It doesn't specifically state a full-time director shall possess and is designated. It just says a director shall possess and is designated the appropriate authority pursuant to NJSA 40A. So I think that possibly that just needs to be clarified. in order to rectify the situation. But yes, Cliff, you're correct in saying that. What it says on the ordinance here is a little bit confusing because it's not, as Angela said, specifically stating that part-time director doesn't have that responsibility. So I think that needs to be clarified, clearly clarified and delineated in this ordinance, because it just adds to the confusion that everybody's experienced, including myself.
Right.
Okay. Well, I guess we're going to have to fix it. Unless, is that what we're going to have to do, Angela?
This is Bob Ross. I'm going to ask you. Can I ask a question? This is Bob Ross.
Sure.
You've been sitting here talking about the ordinance, which isn't the position you want to hire for the part-time position. You have an ordinance for a full-time position. You don't have an ordinance for a part-time position. So you couldn't hire them under this ordinance. That's not the ordinance that you got, that you're asking us to hire a part-time person to see how it works out, and we're going to hire them under the full-time ordinance, then that is a violation of what Cliff and the mayor have been talking about.
The ordinance says part-time, Bob.
What's that?
The ordinance says part-time.
But we're going to hire a part-time what? We don't have a position for a part-time code enforcement, or not code enforcement, director of public safety. We're introducing an ordinance to a full-time position. So what are you going to hire him under? The full-time position?
No, part-time.
No, Mr. Ross,
you don't have an ordinance to hire him under then. You don't have a guideline to hire a part-time director of public safety.
Bob, it's Jack Peterson. The ordinance states part-time position. 52-101 part-time position. That was my question, 20 hours a week or 29 hours a week. So the ordinance that you're having the public hearing on says in the ordinance part-time position. So
where's
if
that
it turns into a full-time position, it would have to go for an amendment.
That's right.
That's true.
Or another ordinance meeting.
So we're not looking at ordinance 11-2020.
Yes. So scroll down. 52-101. I'm sorry, Angela. I'm not trying to do your job for you. I apologize.
Okay, so then if this is a part-time ordinance, then we'd have to amend it again to do a full-time ordinance. And you know what? I missed that. I was skimming through. I didn't even see that part.
Okay. This one here just goes to December 31st.
But the definition of the ordinance that I'm reading takes the power away from the mayor, even though it does have that piece in there that says it's part time and it won't. But
that's what I was trying to say, Bob. That has to be rectified.
That's why I missed that one. I'm skimming through it, looking at what it specifies the job as, and it's reading as a full time position because it's taking away your duties. That one paragraph doesn't alleviate that.
So, may I speak again, Mr. Council President?
Yes.
Okay. In the City Code 61-6, powers and duties of the mayor, giving her the ultimate authority up to and including directing the efforts of the public safety director. So she's still the boss of the public safety director, unless I'm reading that wrong, or unless you're changing that line as part of the ordinance.
No, that's correct.
That's correct. She is the boss of the public safety director part-time.
Under 52-102, this is Trithall. Letter C says, nothing in this chapter shall conflict with Section 5218, which designates the mayor of the city of Egg Harbor as the only appointing authority for the police department. So that stipulation right there should have answered all the questions.
No, that's not true.
It doesn't.
The appointing, Now, the appointing authority hires or promotes and hires or appoints new officers. Okay?
Correct.
That's totally different than the appropriate authority, just so you know.
Go ahead, Todd. Come in here.
Okay.
Well,
so
if you haven't advertised this properly, you're going to have more problems than whether the ordinance is making everybody happy. That's just my opinion. Somebody
could
challenge that.
We did advertise it properly. It's just that we advertised in a smaller market.
So in my experience with city government, when you make a request for proposals or qualifications or whatever, and you only get one back, that's not fair and equitable to everybody else. If it hasn't been advertised properly, you go back and get advertised again. If all you did was advertise on the city website, who except the guy that's going to get the job is even looking at the city website for a job? Quit giggling, Nan. Put your phone on mute.
This is Reed, and I agree with him.
Okay, well then, you know what? Okay. We'll have to get this correctly done, so we will table it tonight. Okay? We will table it tonight and get this correctly done for the next council meeting. And I encourage all council people, if you have questions, this ordinance came out a while ago, and these questions could have been answered before tonight.
And so I asked those questions.
When the ordinance came out, was it read?
Say that
because
again?
If there was an issue with the way the ordinance was written or anything like that, I'm just surprised that it waited till tonight to come out, where it could have been adjusted and done correctly for all parties that are concerned on the government side of this to get it squared away.
Excuse me, Angelo, Reed again. This is the first public comment on such a subject, and that's why we're speaking now.
No, I know you are, and I'm not referring to the public at all. This was the council people and the mayor. If there was a problem with this ordinance before it got to this point, the questions that are coming up tonight should have been brought up before tonight. Okay? Because everybody got these emails 3-4 weeks ago.
Yes.
Angelo, may I answer Angelo? May I answer that? Well, my position that I found out, I blame myself because I trusted it was going to be correct. That's where I made my mistake. I asked this question for months. So, long as I've been here, I blame myself for believing it was going to be right. See, that's my fault. I blame myself for believing. And I asked that question over and over. Who is the appointing authority, and who will still run the police department since 1858? I asked that. So I took the word, and I shouldn't have. See, that's my fault. I shouldn't have.
I understand that, Mr. Mays. All I'm saying is the copy of this ordinance was sent to you.
I agree with you, Angelo. I agree with you. I'm taking it on the chin. I'm taking it, Angelo. I'm not blaming you. I'm blaming Cliff Mays. Okay? I'm blaming me for going to sleep because I believed. I trusted. And that's where I made my mistake.
Angela, this is Meg. If we are tabling Ordinance 11, we need to table the two after as well.
Okay.
Just trying to streamline it. Do you agree, Angela?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Could we get a motion to table it?
I'll make a motion,
so
Maple Dash.
Brown.
Second, Trifle.
All in favor?
Aye.
Angela, okay. Can I table all three at one time?
Yes.
Thank you. So Angelo, you agree we just tabled the 13, 14, and 15?
Yes. Okay, we will great. Table it until it's worded correctly. And like I said, I will ask the mayor and council to please read it when it comes out. And if there's questions on it, it would benefit everybody to the public that we get this done before it goes to a public hearing.
Listen, I would like to make a statement because I read it, and what I read clearly states, as I think everybody can see, it says what it says. So I didn't question it because I thought that's what it was supposed to say. And
right.
I'm finding out tonight now from Angela that it's not supposed to say that. So that's
right.
where the confusion is coming in. Okay? I read it just as everybody else did on council, and it clearly states that the appropriate authority is the director. It just doesn't state that for a full-time director. That's the problem. I mean,
yeah,
everybody can see it. It's not brain surgery.
I thought
we
agreed to table it, to word it right so that we could get it right, and we're still on the same issue. That, I
and
that's
we
why
did, but I'm not.
It.
I don't like being put in the position of saying that I didn't understand what the ordinance said, because I did understand what it said, and I thought it was legally correct. And I just found out tonight, as some of us also found out tonight, that it's not correct because Angela stated that it wasn't correct. So it's not the city council's fault, and it's not the mayor's fault.
I said. If there's questions, I just made a statement that I asked everybody to read it, and if there's any questions, let's do it before the public hearing. That's all I said.
And I read this thing the same way the mayor did, and I was against the position anyway, so I wasn't going to vote for this. I think this is a wasted position. We've been down this road before, but that's not, I'm one vote. So what I understood it to read the way the mayor did, and evidently we weren't incorrect because the attorney says that we weren't. So I understood it. I wasn't going to vote for it anyway. So I'm not out for putting this money out on when we don't need. As far as I can see, this does nothing for us. I've been working with a director of public safety, and it really gained us nothing. There was some there's some hard feelings in the department over it, so I wasn't for it to begin with.
Well, we'll revisit it when it's done correctly, and we'll go from there. Is everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought it was tabled already. I thought we tabled
okay.
it. Why are we still
it is. It's done. It's done. Let's move on to 16. Ordinance number 13, 2020, amending Chapter 52, Article 5, Section 12 of the Code of Egg Harbor City pertaining to the creation of additional positions and employments within the municipality. Superintendent, okay, that one, Superintendent of Public Works.
Okay, Angela, this is an introduction. We just need a first and a second. You're explaining the position, but we just need an intro and a second. Everybody has a copy of the...
Could I get a motion, please?
So moved, Sefton.
Could I get a second?
Second, Trithol.
I don't know if, Angelo, you might want to explain it, maybe, so that we don't have the problem.
Okay, so this position of Superintendent of Public Works, when Mr. Gleason left, when it came up, The position, the name had to be changed as per civil service. And this was the name that was put out there, Superintendent of Public Works. This is the position that Keith took when Mr. Gleason left. Is everybody aware of that or understand that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Could I get a motion? Oh, did we get a motion in a second?
Yes, I do have a motion and a second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Advertised notice of an introduction of ordinance number 13-2020 in the Hamilton Gazette on June 17, 2020 for a public hearing on June 25th. Could I get a motion?
So
So moved, Sefton.
Second, Brown. Is that what I heard?
Sure.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Let's go to 17. Ordinance number 14-2020. Amending the salaries and wages of bargaining and non-bargaining personnel of the City of Egg Harbor City, advertised notice of amending salaries and wages of non-bargaining and non-bargaining personnel of the City of Egg Harbor City. Could I get a motion?
You might want to explain this. This is setting Jody, you may want to weigh in. This is setting the salary for the other ordinance that we're creating this position. Can you please explain?
Yeah, we just, whenever you have a position, it just needs to have the ordinance has to have a range for it. So the actual salary itself is set by resolution when we hired him, but this just has a range of salaries that position could have.
Any other questions? Any questions?
I make the motion.
Can I get a second?
I second, Sefton.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Advertise the notice of introduction of ordinance number 14-2020 in the Hampton Gazette on June 17, 2020 for a public hearing on June 17, 2020. Could I get a motion?
Dash.
So moved. Sefton.
Second.
Second. Brown.
Sorry, Phil.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Number 18, Phil.
Angelo, this is Joe. That date is wrong for the public hearing.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, you got him on the same date.
Oh, okay.
So are you going to do it the same as the other one?
No. The public hearing should be the June 25th. I'm sorry.
When?
The 25th, the same as the ordinance prior to that.
Right above it, right?
Yes. June 25th, okay. Will be the public hearing. Thank you, Joe, for picking that up.
You're welcome.
Okay. 18, bill list, roll call.
I need an introduction.
Can I get a motion to pay the bills?
Trifle makes a motion to pay the bills.
Second, Sefton.
All in favor? I mean, roll call, please.
Are there any questions on the bill list? No? Okay, Brown?
Yes.
Dash?
Yes.
Mays?
Yes.
Richie?
Yes.
Sefton?
Yes.
Trifall?
Yes.
Ross?
Yes.
Lello?
Number 19, public comments. Any public comments?
Yeah,
I got one, sorry, guys.
Oh. Okay.
One at a time, please speak up, say your name and where you live.
Yeah, my name is Kyle. Go ahead, Kyle. Thank you very much. Good evening,
Kyle,
ladies and gentlemen.
Kyle, can I have your last name, please?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Kyle Catton.
Can you spell that, please?
Yes, that would be C-H-A, T is in tango, T is in tango, E is in echo, N is November.
Okay, and your address, sir?
That would be 215 Claudius Street.
Okay, thank you very much. Go ahead.
No problem at all. I'd like to start again. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate your time tonight. Been talking to people from town, and I've noticed there have been some code enforcement violations being handed out to people for grass being too tall. And as though I do agree we should be keeping our town in proper shape no matter time of year, I'd also like to make mention that, you know, we've had this closure of work. People having to stay at home, and though the stay-at-home order is to be lifted, we're going through the motions of being able to get back to some sort of normalcy again. I do believe that it's rather unfair of, on the people of our town should be held liable for their grass being a little too tall, you know, barring they could be losing their employment currently. They might not be getting the money that is actually entitled to them, whether it be through the federal monies or the money that they're supposed to be getting from the state from unemployment. I've actually had to go and cut a few lawns for other people in town because they cannot afford to pay someone to cut their lawn, or they can't afford the upkeep on their equipment. I mean, you know, we're trying to be one town, one community, a small town of joined people, joined hands in a hard time. And instead of trying to reach out to help, I feel as though our code enforcement is more or less putting the foot to our throats and holding us down.
Oh,
I mean, I have not received any of these letters, but I will tell you that, you know, for other people that are in this town that, you know, are not working, I am full-time. People that are struggling, I mean, I think something should be done about that. I think it should be brought to your guys' attention.
Okay, Kyle, I will ask you a question. Do you know if I know some, I understand the situation and I get all that, but the properties that we're talking about, have they violated before? Have they done it two or three or four times before previously that this has happened and they've been warned before about it? And have they actually come up and gone to code enforcement and talked to them inside them?
Honestly, I couldn't tell you, as I'm just, I'm just becoming aware of certain things through either social media or from word of mouth. And yes, I mean, I do agree. There is, to some degree, some homework that should be done. However, I mean, are we really going to be holding tenants against people who may have been a habitual offender of not having their grass cut to a proper length during a time that you're putting yourself at risk to go even get gas or get groceries, might not even have the money to go and get your groceries to feed your family, and we're worried about having to cut our grass? I mean, am I the only one that actually sees this as a permissible issue? Or, I mean, if I'm being out of my head or out of my level, I'd greatly appreciate somebody letting me know so. But, I feel as though that we should be doing more to help rather than hurt.
Okay, no, sir, you're not. You're absolutely right. But the people, if they're out there and they're hearing this and they're getting these, I would ask them to go over to code enforcement and have a conversation with them first before, so that they understand why it happened. If it was the first time, I'm sure code enforcement would work that out with them. All they have to do is come to call, make an appointment, and come to City Hall.
Well, City Hall.
If I could also say something.
City Hall is still closed. Go ahead.
I'd like to thank you for stepping in and helping people that need help with the grass cutting. That's definitely very commendable. I've always thought that there's a fine line between city government helping people and enforcing laws. I would hope that code enforcement would be willing to listen if there was a situation that was beyond the person's control. I know I had a situation a couple years ago with a second house that I own in Egg Harbor City, and it was a water drainage problem. And we got a violation notice from code enforcement, and I called them up and explained what the situation was, and we talked through it and had a resolution. So I would hope that people would feel comfortable enough to even just call code enforcement, speak to Donna or speak to the code officials. My experience with them is they're very easy to talk to. But I would also like to, again, just say thank you for stepping in and helping some of your neighbors that needed the grass cut. That's very commendable. I'm very fortunate to live in a neighborhood where we do that with each other as well. I would like to see more people do that. So thank you for that.
Well,
yeah,
I appreciate you saying so. Thank you.
This is the mayor. I'd like to comment on that. If there is a need in the community, I do have several churches that routinely ask me if there is a need in the community that they would like to help out. And I do believe that this is one thing that they could step in and do. But like, you know, everyone has said, we have to be aware of the situation first. And if these individuals are having legitimate problems with paying to get their grass cut or paying to get gas or whatever, then, you know, with the through the Coalition for a Safe Community and the churches are involved in that and everything else, you know, there could be a solution to their problem if they would just let us know. And it would have to be looked into on a, you know, case-by-case basis, because obviously, you know, there's not a lot of churches in Egg Harbor City, but the ones that are in Egg Harbor City are certainly willing to help and step in to fill the gap for these people that are suffering. So, like it was stated, you should really contact code enforcement, or they, the people, should contact code enforcement and let it be known that they have a hardship, and then direct that hardship to the appropriate person, which, you know, I can get involved in that and send it out to the contact that I have.
I think Donna could handle that at code enforcement, and if she has an issue, she could also call Steve, and I think Steve could work that out with them also. But thank you, Mayor.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's other people that would be happy to step in as well too. That's
yes.
Very good suggestions, Mayor. We appreciate that.
You know, I can chime in. You know, I do appreciate what he has done, and also what the mayor says. But on our website, you know, all our phone numbers are listed. You know, we can't help if we don't know. And a lot
That's
of
right.
people, you know, don't use social media. So, you know, I'm myself, you know, Councilman Trithall, if you call me, I will try to, you know, anybody can call me, and we'll try to get a resolution for some of these things. You know,
yeah.
Please call us. That's what we're here for.
Can I say what this is, Meg? I just want to say I would caution if some of this is being seen on social media, the problems, like to call and make sure they legitimately are problems, because a lot of times social media is not accurate.
Sure. I believe that wholeheartedly. I really appreciate all the different avenues that you guys have taken. I'd also like to make sure that you guys are aware. You know, I'm not speaking before you tonight as trying to point the finger that the town is being a bully of any sort. My only real motive here was to try to get some sort of answers, so that this way, if people are struggling, or, you know, some people actually do, they feel intimidated from either public speaking or even just speaking to another individual on the phone, you know, just to be able to give some sort of clarity, some sort of answer that, you know, the town is here, the town's here to help, the people who we vote for are here to help us. You know, at least some sort of a positive note during these negative times, I guess you could say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Nanette again.
Yes.
Is there any update on the Peace Pilgrim statue?
I have not. I've reached out to the lady. I've not heard from her, but I'm going to take a ride over there probably by beginning of next week to see where the statue's at.
By the lady, you mean the artist who made it?
Yes, I took it over to her, and she's going to fix it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Anybody else?
No, but I do want to say one thing to add to Meg's comment that, you know, I know exactly where the social media issues are coming from, but, you know, our official Facebook page has the official seal of Egg Harbor City. I just want to make that known, that there are other Facebook pages out there that take the name of Egg Harbor City. However, they are not affiliated with Egg Harbor City in any way, shape, or form. So I would just be cautious of that as we peruse social media.
Anybody else from the public?
Yeah. Hey, it's Reed. Just wanted to say hi to everybody. It's good to hear your voices again. Jack, if you're still there, yeah, I appreciated a lot of things that you had to say tonight. And I'm glad that we tabled the things that we did. You know, we need to look more into, you know, how exactly our police force is going to be run. you know, we've tried the administrator position. That didn't work out. And now looking at the public safety director position, you know, I think we need a chief. You know, I understand it's an additional cost, but it's also something that in the long run, I believe, is going to pay off for the city. And, you know, we need somebody that can actually take charge of the police force and not just be a go-between, not just be a liaison. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you, Reed. Is there anybody else? No? Okay. Motion to adjourn. I mean, motion to close public comments. No, I'm sorry, public comments. Motion to adjourn.
So moved. Trifle.
Second. Second.
Everybody have a great week.
Thank you.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Good night. Take care.